You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we have something unique in the Bible. We know the Bible is all about Jesus, and yet we know much about his promised coming. We know about things surrounding his birth. We know about things with his ministry and his crucifixion, but we really don't know much about him from the time he was a year or two old all the way until his ministry begins at age 30. What do we know? What we know is what we have right here today in Luke chapter 2. As we take a look at this glimpse of Jesus at 12 years old, I'm asking you today, do you want to be like Jesus? I hope without even thinking about it, you said, sure, I want to be like Jesus. And then today we're going to find out a little bit as to what that means as we see what he's doing at 12 years old and how he is dealing with the scriptures. We could say here that he was spending time in the Bible. He was attending Bible class. He was asking Bible questions, and we can only imagine he was memorizing key Bible scriptures. That might sound kind of unusual for Jesus, but let's see if that comes up in the text for today. In the first part here, we're thinking about him from the time he was an infant up until he was 12 years old. What I want to do at the beginning here is make a connection between the end of our reading last week there in Matthew chapter 2 with what we pick up now today in Luke chapter 2. So last week we ended with these words. The Bible says in Matthew 2, "And Jesus went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." So with those words, it was telling us there, very young, having just come out of Egypt, as God had called him out of Egypt, he went to settle in Nazareth. So that verse gets him to that place. And then, what was going on with Jesus during that time from infancy up to 12 years old? That's the first verse of today's text. It said, "And Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." That's really all we know from that period of time. For about 11 years or so, that's all we know. But that's all we need to know. We don't even need to know that in a sense, but God has given us that information, though, that he grew, he became strong. So like any other small child, he grew bigger, he became stronger. God blessed him with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So these are wonderful things. So when God gave him wisdom, God was giving him insight. God was giving him understanding, very similar to what God had given to Solomon. So that's why we have the connection there with today's Old Testament reading. But coming to this next part of the sermon, though, you might say, wait a minute now. Jesus, he is the Son of God, so why did he have to grow at all? Why did he have to learn anything? I think it's important here that we make a distinction between him being the Son of God and then becoming the Son of Man. Think about what we confess as part of Luther's explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. We say that Jesus is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. So think about it like this. As true God, he knows everything. No one's going to teach him anything at all, but as true man, he is learning, he is growing, he is maturing. On that topic, what about all of us? Are we continuing to grow and mature? Now, maybe were already grown up and mature physically, but what about spiritually? When you think about physically, I think we could say that as far as physical strength goes, if you were going to chart it out, we would begin low on the chart, and we would go up and up and up and become stronger and stronger and stronger. But eventually, though, we're going to go the other way, all the way down to physical death. But what about spiritually, though? What does God want for us? He wants us to begin in holy baptism, with being in his family, having our sins forgiven, knowing Jesus Christ, having the Holy Spirit. And then he wants that line to continue upward all the way until we physically die. So even though the one line is going all the way down, he wants the other line to be going all the way up. So it's important that we are growing spiritually until the day that we die. In the next section here, we come to the topic of the Passover. So in verse 41 of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom." So I think we all know about the Passover. So with the Passover, we're talking approximately 1,400 years before the birth of Christ. So 1,400 years earlier, that is when the Israelites were in Egypt, and then it was time for God to set them free. So he used Moses to do that. He brought the 10 plagues upon them. And with the 10th plague, God said, all of the males in Egypt, both people and animals, are going to die. God said there's one way to escape. So take a lamb, take a male lamb, take a lamb that is a year old, take a lamb without blemish, put it to death on a particular day, take the blood, put it on the frames of your houses. And then God said, when I come to put to death those males that I have promised to put to death, when I come to do that, when I see the blood, I will pass over those homes and I will not bring the destruction I have promised. I should add there, that was the firstborn males. So that's what happened at that time, and God did what he said. So there's a shocking passage in the Bible where it says, regarding the Egyptians, it says there was not a home in Egypt where there was not at least one person dead after that night when God came through and put to death the firstborn. Can you imagine waking up one morning and finding out, oh, in the city of Parma, they have about 20,000 homes, and there are about 20,000 people who were found dead in their beds this morning. That would be quite a shocking thing. But that's what God did, though, back at that time. But God used that, though, to set them free from their physical bondage. And setting them free from their physical bondage was pointing ahead to Jesus setting us free from our spiritual bondage. So God said, every year I want you to remember what I did by having a feast, by having a celebration of the Passover. So they did that all those years. So many different lambs were sacrificed year after year after year, all pointing ahead to the ultimate Lamb of God. Anyway, you know the story, but that's what they were doing there in Jerusalem at the Passover. And then going further, we come now to Jesus apparently being lost. The Bible says that when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. So keep in mind that from Jerusalem, they would head north to Nazareth, and it's probably about 90 miles, and maybe they could make the walk in about 4 days. So they were doing a lot of walking. They were accustomed to walking. That would be a long way for us to take a 20-mile walk today, but they were pretty used to that type of thing. So they're making the journey, and it's not just Mary and Joseph and Jesus, but it's other people who are family members, maybe other people who live in Nazareth, but there were probably a lot of people. They're traveling together in a larger group. So you might think, well, wow, they weren't very good parents. They didn't even know what was going on for a whole day with Jesus. But keep in mind, though, he's 12 years old. Keep in mind, they were kind of used to traveling in a group like that, and they weren't concerned. Everyone was kind of watching out for, you know, for all the young ones. So they were not bad parents, but when they discovered that after a whole day they couldn't find him, hey, we better go back and connect with him here. Something isn't right. Well, the Bible says after 3 days, so that must have been kind of a panic. You know, after one day they went back, and then it was after 3 days before they found him. So, boy, they might have been really getting concerned, thinking, I mean, did somebody kidnap him or kill him? Or, you know, maybe all kinds of things were racing through their minds. But after 3 days, though, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus listened to them. So they were the Bible teachers, and he was listening to their teaching. So again, keep in mind, as a son of God, he didn't need that. But as a son of man, he is learning the scriptures. When I read that part, it made me think about something that Jesus would say about 20 years later regarding these teachers of the Bible. So just to jump ahead for a moment to Matthew 23, this is what Jesus said later. He said, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but they do not practice." So even 20 years later, he's telling the people, listen to them. They are teaching the Old Testament scriptures. But he said to them, be careful. These guys are teaching the right things, but they're not living them out in their lives. And then we also see that Jesus asked questions. So anytime we're hearing the word of God, we should be thinking, what does this mean? So we might have questions as we're asking that in our own hearts and minds. So if we have opportunity, then we can say, hey, teacher, by the way, I have a question here. And when we ask the question, that's clarifying for us what the proper meaning is. So we see Jesus doing that. And apparently also, well, think about it like this. Sometimes just by the question that a person asks of me, or maybe even of a question you hear someone else ask of someone else, you can tell they're really thinking in order to even ask that question. So he had to have a lot of questions like that. We're like, wow, how does this 12-year-old know so many things because of the questions he's asking? So he was a very diligent student prior to that time and continuing to learn and learn and learn. Even for myself, some of the children here at Bethlehem, I'm like, wow, they're so young and they know so much. How did that happen? Well, that's a reflection on the parents, and that's a wonderful thing. And that's the job of the parents, too. It's not really the job of the church to teach the children. It's the job of the parents. So praise God we have parents who are being very diligent with their children in teaching them the word of God. And then in this next section, I'm kind of saying that Jesus had to, in a sense, bring his parents up to speed, if you will. So the Bible says, "And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.'" So again, think about the 3 days. They're really stressed out here now, but they're also happy because finally they have found him. "And then Jesus said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them." Think about that. They did not understand this idea of him being in his father's house. So let's go back about 12 years and think about the events surrounding his birth. So many fantastic, miraculous things. So think about Elizabeth becoming pregnant with John. The Bible says she was beyond the childbearing years, and yet she becomes pregnant. A miracle. And even think about the angel coming and speaking to Zechariah about it. And then think about the angel appearing to Mary and her becoming pregnant, even though she was never with a man. And then the angel appearing to Gabriel in order to tell him what's going on. We might say to bring Gabriel up to speed on what was going on with Mary. And then the virgin birth. And then the angel announcing to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem what had just happened that night with the birth of the Savior. And then the shepherds coming to visit. And then sometime later, the wise men coming to visit and bringing the special gifts pointing to who this child was. So many exciting, fascinating, fantastic things. But then, though, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened beyond that. So I'm going to speculate a little bit here. And I'm going to say that maybe, just maybe, once they got back to Nazareth, all the dust had settled, and there was maybe not much remarkable about the boy Jesus as he grew up. So he wasn't like his mother broke a bowl and he miraculously fixed it. I don't think those kinds of things were going on. I think that he was kind of a normal boy growing up. Of course, he wasn't being a bad boy, so that was kind of unusual, but yet he was a normal boy in a sense. And let me speculate even a little bit further and say, is it possible that Joseph and Mary maybe thought, well, we know all that happened way back, but he seems so normal now that they almost forgot about who he was and how Joseph was not his father, but God was his father and all these things. I mean, it seems impossible, but yet I wonder, because they just seem so surprised when he says, I had to be in my father's house. Well, going further here, the Bible says, and he went down, that would be Jesus, he went down with them, with his parents, and came to Nazareth and was submissive. He was obedient to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So again here, we have Mary treasuring these things up in her heart. So remember, after the shepherds came to visit the baby Jesus, now she's treasuring these things, she's pondering them, she's thinking about them. And then maybe for a number of years, those things kind of got put on the back burner and life was more normal. But now, though, with what has happened here, now with this scene at 12 years old, now she's again probably beginning to think about all those exciting events. Oh, that's right. My son is the promised Savior of the world. God is his Father in heaven. She probably didn't know all the details of the plan that would unfold, but yet now she's back and she's thinking about that again. And then think about the last verse there. Let me read it one more time. It says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So that one verse is telling us all we need to know about Jesus from 12 years old all the way to 30 years old. It might be interesting someday to talk to Jesus and say, hey, what was going on, Jesus, when you were 18 years old? And he could tell us all about it. But God is saying to us, those things aren't that important. So we don't need to know that now. We can know that he lived that entire time without sin. The Bible tells us that. He is the Son of God. He is our perfect Savior. He did a finished work. All the things we need to know, we know. Finally, here at the end, I want to go back to us being like Jesus and think about these challenges I want to give you today. So some ways to be like Jesus would be to get into the Bible in a serious way. So one thing that's very important is having a daily devotion. And in the most simple way is simply to take the Bible, pick a place in the Bible, read something, and maybe not even read that much. Read a little bit, think about it, and then put your thoughts into a prayer and talk to God about what you have read. That would be the most simple way to do a daily devotion. There are many, many other ways too that we have here at Bethlehem. If you have questions about that, I'd love to tell you more, but that would be a very simple way to think about daily devotion. And then we have three different Bible classes here every week. So Thursday at 10, Saturday at 3, Sunday at 10:30. So we welcome you to come to one or more of them. And that's a time to be able to listen, a time to be able to ask questions, a time to grow in your understanding of God's holy word. And then it's important that we faithfully then apply the things that God shows to us. I think sometimes God doesn't show us certain things from the Bible when we're going through it the first time, but then as we go through it more and more, there's always more that God is making known to us. So we should never say, well, I've read through there, I've done that, that's it, I know it all. It never happens that way. There's like a depth to the scriptures. So when we go through it the first time, God is showing us things on the surface, things that we need at that time in our lives. But then, as we begin to mature and we go through it again, God shows us more and more as to what's going on there. He shows how it applies to us, and then it's important that we make the application. And then finally, think about it like this with sharing what we learn then. So imagine that you're studying the Bible, and God opens your heart and mind to understand something that you've like never understood before. And you're like, oh, dear God, that's so amazing. You're so excited about it. And what should you do then? Go to somebody else and tell them what God has made known to you. Tell them why you're excited about it. And now they might not be excited, but still, though, just the process of doing it, it's going to reinforce to you what God has made known, and it might end up being a great blessing to them. But we should be kind, we should be friendly in how we share the Word of God with others. So those are all ways to be able to respond to today's sermon. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as you learned, lived, and died for us, so move us by the Holy Spirit to learn, live, and share with others for you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.